Does he entrust you and me with his gifts, with his word, with his anointing? See, Moses spoke to God in the 33rd chapter of Exodus, down in verse 14. He said, Lord, I want you to tell us. I want you to tell us you're going with us and give us grace in your sight to take us into the land that flows with milk and honey. For Lord, how will we know, and how will the nations around us know that we have found grace in your sight? Is it not that your presence goes up with us from hence, that they'll know that we found grace in your sight? It's because of God's favor, his presence in our lives, praise God, that joy and peace and righteousness and wisdom and all of the wonderful fruit of the Spirit. That's the evidence that we found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then there's other evidence we look for to see if God has driven us into a calling that is outside and beyond ourselves. If God trusts us, if God will entrust us with his message, if God will entrust us with a gift, that we won't exploit it for popularity or for money or for elevating ourselves and almost becoming an idol among God's people. Compelled and driven by the Spirit will drive us to suffer for Jesus' sake. Not only as Paul said in Philippians 1:29, he says unto you, it is given on the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Yes. Amen. That's when it boils down to see if a man's really called of God or not. If he's chosen and anointed and God trusts him, will he suffer for the cause of Christ? Will he bear a cross? Or all he wants to do is to flit around to banquets and have big crowds and plenty of money. That's not the way to discern a man of God. We're driven by something outside and beyond ourselves, as we read in the accounts of the beloved apostles and prophets and even of our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. We read of the great apostle Paul and many others that have God is associated in Hebrews 11 with those great heroes of faith that have blazed a trail before us that we can follow the path that they have marked with guideposts and beacons that lighten the way that our feet do not falter, nor are we misled out of the path that God has given us that is straight and narrow, that only a few people can find it. Amen. Brother, these were great men and women of God. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to follow their examples. I know that God has put the right biographical sketches in the Word of God that we can look and see these men and women before us as our examples. Romans 15:4, the great apostle Paul said, for the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we by patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. He also said in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and verse 6, now all these things happen unto them for our examples. In verse 11, but all these things were written for our examples, upon whom the end of the world had come. What happened to Israel, the early church, the church of old, are our examples. And I want to show you some of those sterling examples of men and women driven by the Holy Ghost, something outside and beyond themselves, and their response and their reacts to this driving, this being brought into captivity, that literally having a hook in their jaws that were leading them in a path that they themselves had not chosen. It was chosen of the Lord, but they walked with the Lord. I don't believe they were reluctant either. I believe their trust was in God, and God trusted them to be lights in a world among whom they shine in the midst of darkness and perverseness. In Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 35, there's an end there to all the exploits that are wonderful and glorious and glamorous. That's all of those things of chasing, killing the giant like David did, killing the Philistines like Samson did, chasing the Midianites like Gideon did and his 300. And all the others like Samuel and Jephthah and Barak and other men that wrought righteousness, obtained promises, subdued kingdoms, stopped the mouth of lions like Daniel's God did for him, quenched the violence of fire like the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego through faith, escaped the age of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and then there the whole history of the exploits that we consider wonderful all ended. Don't mention them anymore. Now it gets on some other exploits which are equally the result of great faith in God and trusting God and God trusting us. And others were tortured not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, and they did it through faith. They were driven and compelled by the Spirit of God to suffer things. These indignities that were heaped upon them were our examples of men and women that were compelled and caught in the grip of divine persuasion. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And now you hear these little sweet-talking preachers of the Jews drooling, oh, God just loves it. He don't want none of us to get hurt. That's a lie. God has never spared the best people in history from suffering and even giving their lives to torture and martyrdom. Where does these panty-waist preachers get all that nonsense? It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. It's lies that preachers concoct and make up fables to tickle the ears of itching-eared saints to turn them away from the truth to fables. Like the Bible says, God's church is going into tribulation. You might as well get ready for it. You're going to have some of these same things right here that the early church endured and suffered. The Bible don't say the church is going to be cut off anywhere before the tribulation. It tells the very opposite. Preachers twist the scriptures and say, oh, I'll give you one. Luke 21, verse 36. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. It said all these things. And what things was it? In the day of God's wrath, when the sun is turned to darkness and the moon to blood and the stars fall and men cry for death. Didn't say nothing about the tribulation. The Bible tells the church we are going in tribulation. We're going to meet the Antichrist. He's going to have power over us for 3.5 years. And the Bible says it again and again. Then the preachers want to twist these scriptures of some juicy little tidbit morsel of essence of peppermint when it's deadly as of asp and a viper. God's people is going to be caught in a severe trap of this old promised affluence because the Lord just loves us. He sure does love us good enough to keep us out of hell. Amen. That's the love of God. An old rugged cross and a man dying that was compelled to go to that cross to die. And Jesus gave us one ultimatum. Luke 9:23, he said, if any man, he said to them all, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Amen. And he said, if you don't take up that cross, you cannot be my disciple. Amen. Christians with a cross. Everybody's trying to get out of that. They don't want no cross. Oh, give me a party. Give me a trip to Disney World. Let me go to Niagara this week. I want a vacation. I'm worthy to get some leave and more money. That's all going to collapse, ladies and gentlemen, in the next few months, right in the Reagan administration. It's going to collapse. And I'll be glad when it will. Amen. We got to go through it. I just soon go through it now as tomorrow. I'm trying to get God's saints mentally prepared, spiritually prepared. And God's going to give us two or three more years to get this message out. And we're going to get it. Don't worry. God's stirring thousands of people over this nation that are rising up and saying, we're going to help you.